Give me just a second, thanks. Okay. All right. God bless you all. Thank you for waiting.
It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's midweek. We're on our seven day fast, and we're being blessed by God. We encourage you. You might want to pick up a day or so of fasting and enjoy communion with God, and just cleaning out your body and making sure that you're in the best of health. I believe every fast you do adds years to your life, friends. That's why we do it four times a year. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. This is our fall torso fast. And so thank you for joining us. And if not fasting, thank you for praying. God is good. All right, brothers and sisters, we want to, at this time, we're going to have our opening prayer at this time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us, and we just give you praise for your mercies are endure forever. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christians. It's about time. It's about time for the coming.
Amen. It is about time, brothers. And at this time, we are going to go and study the subject, why are people persecuted? Why are people persecuted? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. Bless us, Lord, for your mercy endures forever. Be with us as we study. Give us a clarity of thought. Help us to hear the Holy Spirit speaking in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, why are people persecuted? We got our subject from Daniel 11, verse 28. We're actually studying Daniel 11. And you all will remember that we actually studied several verses, and I'll just pick it up in verse 21, but we're studying verse 28. It says in verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. You see, we've been studying Caesar Augustus. It's amazing history, brothers and sisters. He was also called Octavian, and his brother-in-law was Mark Antony. Mark Antony went down and he married the sister of Caesar Augustus or Octavian, but then he divorced her and went down to Egypt and married Cleopatra. There was war because he was giving away Roman provinces to Cleopatra, and the Bible is very clear that at that time, there was war between them. And of course, we're going to see as we read on that Octavian or Caesar Augustus actually won the battle. But it picks up in verse 21. It says, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. You see, after Julius Caesar, there was Caesar Augustus working with Mark Antony, but then they became enemies. Okay, and then at the end of the battle, Caesar Augustus won. And after Caesar Augustus, when he was about to die, he appointed a vile person called Tiberius, who he did not want at first, but the one he had planned to be his heir died, and his wife, that was her son, so it was his stepson, and he was known for his vileness. But he was chosen because she just kept pulling on him, and he ended up being very ruthless, and he was the one in place when Jesus died. So in his estate shall stand up a vile person, this is Tiberius, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flattery. His wife, his mother anyway, she just kind of flattered her son into the kingship by causing the weakened old Caesar Augustus to go ahead and name him as his successor. And with the arms of a flood, they shall be overflown from before him and shall be broken also the prince of the covenant. So he did a lot of persecuting of the people of God, and he killed Jesus. That's why it says also the prince of the covenant, or shall I say, Jesus died in his reign. He was the Caesar on the throne when the Jews said to Pilate, if you let him go, you're not Caesar's friend. Okay, and so when he heard those things, the Bible tells us in John 19, he succumbed and gave them their wish. And after the league, so the Bible changes subjects, and after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. Well, the league was back in 161 BC when the Maccabees made a league with Rome. So sometimes the Bible in Daniel 11 gives us a detailed story, then it kind of gives us a global story with more detail, and then it goes back to some detail. But we had already talked about the league. So the league made was in 161. He shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with the small people. That's the growth of Rome. As it made leagues of protection with various organizations and people. In this case, the Jewish Maccabees, but then it came to bring tribulation and control over the Jews. He shall enter peaceably upon the fattest places of the province. This is yesterday's review. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, meaning that he would, you know, do it a little differently. The fathers conquered by war and conquest and blood. Rome didn't always conquer that way. They conquered with treaties They got you involved with them in trees, but then they didn't keep the treaty or oppress the people. And he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. Now that even for a time is 360 days. That means each day is a year. When the beginning point of this happens, brothers and sisters, that would be the beginning where Rome is powerful with its emperors. So the time of the emperors would be 360 years, okay? His devices will be forecast. See, Rome was known for its Roman Empire, the emperors that ruled, okay? So at first, Rome had a Senate. It was more Senate and democratic like the United States, okay? But then, starting with Julius Caesar, but then he still had a Senate. But after him, when Caesar Augustus came, he was the first emperor, and then it just kept going on a line of emperors for 360 years. And Caesar Augustus fought the Battle of Actium, which we'll read about. And he shall stir up his power and courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle. Why was he stirred against the king of the south? Because Mark Antony had gone down to Egypt to take care of some business and fell in love with Cleopatra and then divorced his sister. Brothers and sisters, this is more interesting than Days of Our Lives. This is more interesting than As the World Turns. This is more interesting than General Hospital. This is more interesting than something about All My Life. I forgot what it is. But you all know what I'm talking about. The Young and the Restless. This is more interesting. We don't need to go through those soap operas. This is real. Okay? So his brother-in-law made him mad. He's the king of the north. His brother-in-law, Mark Antony, is the king of the south. So Egypt, with Mark Antony and Cleopatra, they came with ships, and Octavian with fewer ships. He had more ships, but they were smaller ships. So the south had more firepower, but the ships of the north were more maneuverable. That's some battle history for you. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great army and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for he shall forecast devices against him. That was the Battle of Actium. And in that battle, Mark Antony was losing. Cleopatra deserted him, took her ships back to Egypt. He escaped with his life, and pretty much they knew that they had lost their navy, pretty much. And so they knew they were at the will of Octavian, which is Caesar Augustus. Yea, they shall feed of the portion of his meat. They that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him. Mark Antony's ground forces deserted him and went over to Octavian, which is Caesar Augustus. Why? Because they were so upset because he came down there to take care of some serious business, and he's just laying up with Cleopatra. So they're like, man, we can be with our wives and our girlfriends. And so they deserted him. And so, and it's all in Daniel 11. Like I said, it's better than the soap operas. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. Secretly, Mark Antony wanted to rule. Secretly, Octavian, which is Caesar Augustus, wanted to rule. But because they were family, they spoke lies, it says, at one table, but it shall not prosper. In other words, this alliance didn't prosper because he left, divorced her, Octavian, Caesar Augustus' sister, and went and married Cleopatra. It says, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. You see, brothers and sisters, this begins with Octavian, the reigning of the emperors, and it would be for that time appointed, which we already read was for a time, which was 360 years. So from the reign of Octavian until Rome was by Constantine transferred to Constantinople, and pretty much the Roman Empire was crumbling and it's about to go over to the papacy, that was 360 years, just like the Bible said. So we're in verse 28. Now, verse 28 says, then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant, and he shall do exploit, that means damage, and return to his own land. This one verse describes, brothers and sisters, the persecution of pagan Rome to the people of God, the persecution of the first century. You'll read about it, and I'll give you a quote from the great book called Great Controversy. But we want to talk about why are people persecuted. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So we're asking the question, why are people persecuted? Well, we're partially answering is because they must be like the prophets, okay? Well, what did the prophets do? They gave the word of God. But let's read about it. Notice what it said in Matthew 23:37 as we consider why are people persecuted. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. So it's when you reject the truth, because the prophets wrote the Bible truth, okay, it's rejection of truth. When people reject truth, when they don't like the message, they harm the messenger, okay? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and, excuse me, ye would not. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's why I'm encouraging you today, brothers and sisters, give your heart fully to God and get prepared for a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Today, the Bible says, if you hear his voice today, harden not your heart, because what will happen, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least will be unjust in much. In Matthew 5, I believe, I forget the exact verse, I think it's 12, but don't quote me on that. But I will tell you that Jeremiah 12:5 says, if thou run with the footmen and they weary thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in times of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, what wilt thou do at the swelling of the Jordan? Brothers and sisters, now that we have a little time of peace, we see even in the United States, we see the Republican Party talking about we've got to have religious legislation, because our country is going to pot, so to speak. They're used to be called the moral majority, may still be called that, but they have other new names for it. But it's basically where religion, they want politics to control religion. Whenever that happens, it always brings persecution to the faithful. So God is allowing the Democrats to bring about a demoralization in certain values, abortion and same-sex marriages and stuff. And the Republicans, not that they're more converted or anything like that, and some of them are in the same vices, but, you know, that's their Republican, that's their name that they make for themselves. That's how they get votes. They're trying to appeal to certain classes of people, and so they're trying to bring in more morality. And brothers and sisters, we're on the brink of a civil war. We have Republicans that do not believe in a peaceful transfer of power, and you've got Democrats that, you know, are in all the vices that we just mentioned. Brothers and sisters, we're in trouble, and if we don't understand that this is going to be a major issue, and it will end up causing so much bloodshed and loss and damage, that if the people of God are not ready, we won't be ready then. We've got to get ready now. That's why it's to be close to God. So, brothers and sisters, 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. That's 1 Peter 4:12. And I did read 2 Timothy 3:12, I believe, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So persecution comes from the devil when you are giving the true message of the Lord, and the devil doesn't want that message, and so he tries to use force to get you to turn. Brothers and sisters, some people are using force in their marriage when their husband or their wife. You can force somebody. It doesn't have to be with a gun or a knife. You can deny somebody love. You can deny somebody food. You can deny somebody money. There's many ways of forcing, brothers and sisters. And we see that in people's personal lives and church politics, all this kind of mess. And all of them are going to hell if they don't get it right, brothers and sisters. All right, let's read Matthew 24:9 and verses 21 and 22. This is Jesus talking. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted. He's prophesying what we just read in Daniel chapter 11, verse 28. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. Now, Jesus in Matthew 24, the disciples had asked him, when shall these things be? As he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So some of those verses describe persecution in the first century and then persecution at the end of time, which is the final persecution is yet to come. I want to read a little bit from a wonderful book called The Great Controversy. The Great Controversy is written by a woman with a third grade education, brothers and sisters, but she was a woman of God. Her name was Ellen G. White. And I want to read to you some, at least some, if not all, of what I have chosen as a reading for you. Paganism foresaw that should the gospel triumph, so this is pagan Rome, paganism so foresaw that should the gospel triumph, her temples and altars would be swept away. Therefore, she summoned her forces to destroy Christianity. The fires of persecution were kindled. Christians were stripped of their possessions and driven from their homes. They endured a great fight of affliction, Hebrews 10:32. They had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, Hebrews 11:36, 37, and 38. Great numbers sealed their testimony with their blood. Noble and slave, rich and poor, learned and ignorant were alike slain without mercy. These persecutions, beginning under Nero about the time of the martyrdom of Paul, continued with greater or less fury for centuries. Christians were falsely accused of the most dreadful crimes and declared to be the cause of great calamities, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. You ever heard of climate change? You ever seen all the an increase? Have you ever seen an increase in hurricanes? Have you ever seen an increase in wildfires? Back in the day when those things happened, they blamed the people of God. And brothers and sisters, God has given us a precursor of what's going to happen. It's going to get worse, and they eventually are going to blame those who keep the Sabbath, because the Bible predicts that the mark of the beast, which is the enforcement of Sunday worship, brothers and sisters, will actually come and be a federal and therefore eventually state law. And you will be going against the law, and they will believe that they are coming back to God as a nation. And therefore, those who refuse are keeping the judgments of God, the angry God, bringing the earthquakes, bringing the hurricanes. That's their policy. It's the devil bringing those things, and he's rousing them up to think that it's the people of God. As they became the objects of popular hatred and suspicion, informers stood ready for the sake of gain to betray the innocent. They were condemned as rebels against the empire, as foes of religion, and pests to society. Great numbers were thrown to wild beasts or burned alive in amphitheaters. Some were crucified, others were covered with skins of wild animals and thrust into the arena to be torn by dogs. Their punishment was often made the chief entertainment at public feasts. You can go over to Rome right now and you can see the broken down amphitheaters where they would bring the Christians in, and like a baseball game, the people would laugh and cheer as lions would tear them apart, but they would die singing and die in peace, brothers and sisters. Their punishment was often made the chief entertainment at public feasts. See, some of you didn't never knew this happened. You see, this is real, brothers and sisters. The people that followed Christ were killed just like Jesus said. So let me tell you something. Character is not produced in a crisis. It's revealed in a crisis. If we don't get our hearts right with God and be totally surrendered to him at every moment, brothers and sisters, when the crisis comes, we will not stand. I sang a little song growing up. The wise man built his house upon the rock. You know we sing it to children. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the house on the rock stood fast. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the house on the sand went splash. We remember singing that as little children. Oh, brothers and sisters, are you building on the rock, Christ Jesus? How are you treating people, brothers and sisters? Are you kind? Are you loving? Are you studying your Bible daily? Are you praying? You know, God wants to help us. Vast multitudes assembled to enjoy the sight and greeted their dying agonies with laughter and applause. Whenever they sought refuge, the followers of Christ were hunted like beasts of prey. They were forced to seek concealment in desolate and solitary places, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Hebrews 11:36, 37, and 38. The catacombs afforded shelter for thousands beneath the hills outside the city of Rome. Long galleries had been tunneled through earth and rock. The dark and intricate network of passages extended for miles beyond the city walls. In these underground retreats, the followers of Christ buried their dead. And here also, when suspected and proscribed, they found a home. When the life giver, who is the life giver? Jesus, amen. When the life giver shall awaken those who have fought the good fight, many a martyr for Christ's sake will come forth from those gloomy caverns. Under the fiercest persecution, these witnesses for Jesus kept their faith unsullied. Though deprived of every earthly comfort, shut away from the light of the sun, making their home in the dark but friendly bosom of the earth, they uttered no complaint. With words of faith, patience, and hope, they encouraged one another to endure privation and distress. The loss of every earthly blessing could not force them to renounce their belief in Christ. Trials and persecution were but steps, bringing them nearer the rest and their reward. Like God's servants of old, many were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hebrews 11:35. These call to mind the words of their master that when persecuted for Christ's sake, they were to be exceeding glad, for great would be their reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before them. They rejoiced that they had been accounted worthy to suffer for the truth, and songs of triumph ascended from the midst of the crackling flames. Did you catch that? Songs of triumph ascended from the midst of the crackling flames. They were singing when they were being burnt to death. Oh, my brothers and sisters, my God will not allow anything to come to me that I can't handle. If it's 200 degrees, he'll make it more like 100, and he won't put more on me than I can bear and sing through, brothers and sisters. Looking upward by faith, they saw Christ and angels leaning over the battlements of heaven, gazing upon them with the deepest interest and regarding their steadfastness with approval. A voice came down to them from the throne of God, "Be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life." You see, the more they would kill 10, and some all the people watching, they say, "I want to think like that." So when they would kill 10, 100 would join the church. They would kill 100, then 1,000 would join the church. They would kill 1,000, and 10,000 would join the church because they saw something in the people of God that they wanted, brothers and sisters. We're going to learn. The devil said, "This is not working." And so he said, "If I can't beat him, join them." And so you're going to see with the papacy, the devil joined the church. That's for tomorrow. That's tomorrow's lesson. The great controversy in which the disciples of Jesus yielded up their lives did not cease when these faithful standard bearers fell by their post. By defeat, they conquered. God's workmen were slain, but his work went steadily forward. The gospel continued to spread, and the number of its adherents increased. It penetrated into regions that were inaccessible even to the eagles of Rome. Fed a Christian, expostulating with the heathen rulers who were urging forward the persecution. "You may torment, afflict, and vex us. Your wickedness puts our weakness to the test, but your cruelty is of no avail. It is but a stronger invitation to bring others to our persuasion. The more we are mowed down, the more we spring up again. The blood of the Christians is seed." Thousands were imprisoned and slain, but others sprung up to fill their places. And those who were martyred for their faith were secured to Christ and accounted of him as conquerors. They had fought the good fight. They had received the crown of glory when Christ should come. The sufferings which they endured brought Christians nearer to one another with their Redeemer. their living example and dying testimony. We're a constant witness for the truth. And where least expected, the subjects of Satan were leaving his service and enlisting under the banner of Christ. That's a book called Great Controversy, and I read to you from pages 39 to 42. Brothers and sisters, if that doesn't convince you that this woman was inspired, I don't know what will. But the bottom line is, test it by the Bible, what God wants. We're going to take a break now after prayer, and we're going to come back. We're going to hear from Sister Lenny, and she's going to talk on the subject of the tobacco habit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for helping us understand that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Help us to understand that even in Christianity, to be popular is not what Jesus was. He was not popular in his day. The popular movement is not the movement that will bring us closer to God. The popular movement is not what is healing people of their diseases. The popular movement gives us a feel-good experience, but we don't know truth. Oh, Lord, help us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. We're going to take a little break before we come back and hear from Sister Lenny on the tobacco habit. God bless you. Enjoy the Torso song.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Sorso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. We'll hear from Sister Lenny in just a moment. All right, Sister Lenny is going to be sharing with us on the tobacco habit.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. The tobacco habit. Tobacco is a slow, insidious, but most malignant poison. In whatever form it is used, it tells upon the Constitution. It is all the more dangerous because its effects are slow and at first hardly perceptible. It excites and then paralyzes the nerves. It weakens and clouds the brain. Often it affects the nerves in a more powerful manner than does intoxicating drink. It is more subtle, and its effects are difficult to eradicate from the system. Its use excites a thirst for strong drink and in many cases lays a foundation for the liquor habit. The use of tobacco is inconvenient, expensive, uncleanly, defiling to the user, and offensive to others. Its devotees are encountered everywhere. You rarely pass through a crowd, but some smoker puffs his poison breath in your face. It is unpleasant and unhealthy to remain in a railway car or in a room where the atmosphere is laden with the fumes of liquor and tobacco. Though men persist in using these poisons themselves, what right have they to defile the air that others must breathe? Among children and youth, the use of tobacco is working untold harm. The unhealthful practices of past generations affect the children and youth of today. Mental inability, physical weakness, disordered nerves, and unnatural cravings are transmitted as a legacy from parents to children. And the same practices continued by the children are increasing and perpetuating the evil results. To this cause, in no small degree, is owing the physical, mental, and moral deterioration, which is becoming such a cause of alarm. Boys begin the use of tobacco at an early age, and I must add, so does girls. The habit thus formed when body and mind are especially susceptible to its effects undermines the physical strength, dwarfs the body, stupefies the mind, and corrupts the morals. But what can be done to teach children and youth the evils of a practice of which parents, teachers, and ministers set them the example? Little boys hardly emerge from babyhood, may be seen smoking their cigarettes. If one speaks to them about it, they say, "My father uses tobacco." They point to the minister or the Sunday school superintendent and say, "Such a man smokes. What harm for me to do as he does?" Many workers in the temperance cause are addicted to the use of tobacco. What power can such persons have to stay the progress of intemperance? I appeal to those who profess to believe and obey the word of God. Can you, as Christians, indulge a habit that is paralyzing your intellect and robbing you of power rightly to estimate eternal realities? Can you consent daily to rob God of service, which is his due, and to rob your fellow men, both of service you might render and of the power of example? Have you considered your responsibility as God's stewards? For the means in your hands, how much of the Lord's money do you spend for tobacco? Reckon up what you have thus spent during your lifetime. How does the amount consumed by this defiling just compare with what you have given for the relief of the poor and the spread of the gospel? No human being needs tobacco, but multitudes are perishing for what of the means that by its use is worse than wasted? Have you not been misappropriating the Lord's goods? Have you not been guilty of robbery toward God and your fellow men? Know ye not that ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. I'd like to share a formula with you. It's a stop smoking formula with you this morning. 3/4 cup of honey, 1/4 cup of lemon juice, 1/3 teaspoon of peppermint oil, 1 pinch of cayenne pepper, 1 ounce bottle of lobelia tincture. And I'll repeat that. 3/4 cup of honey, 1/4 cup of lemon juice, 1/3 teaspoon of peppermint oil, 1 pinch of cayenne pepper, 1 ounce of lobelia tincture. This morning's health segment, and let me just share it with you. That formula is coming from Overcome Disease, the Refreshing Way, okay? This morning's health segment is coming from the Ministry of Healing, page 136-137. Thank you, and may you be blessed today with good health. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Sister Lenny, we might want to share with them how to take it. If you don't have that information, I do, but if you have it, can you share how to take it?
It says you mix all ingredients. Take 1 teaspoon whenever you get a craving.
Yeah.
Continually to pray and ask God to give you the victory as you cooperate with Him. You can also take contrast showers daily as well.
Thank you very
and
much.
Eat plenty of fruits and vegetables and try to eliminate the sugar and caffeine.
Amen. 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 Phone lines are open. Let's start with sharing and caring time on Facebook. We've got Brother Brian from the great country of Kenya in Africa, Sister Vicky from Georgia saying good morning to us. We also have Brother Peyton out of North Carolina giving us a good morning blessing. Brother Brian saying good morning. We've got a Brother Patrick. I don't know where exactly he's from. God bless you, Brother Patrick. Brother Peyton asked us to pray for a family friend named Kendall. She's 22 years old and attempted suicide. He's asking that we pray that she gives her life to Jesus and also pray that she gets a job and an apartment. So we're praying for Kendall. Amen. We've got Sister Gloria from Virginia, and we've got Brother Patrick. And Brother Patrick has some questions for me. I guess I'll just reach out to him. And then Sister Gloria says, good morning. We've got our Brother Justin. We've got Sister Tyvina out of Maryland. We've got Sister Tuesday out of Virginia, and she says, good morning. All right, on the call, brothers and sisters, we have represented Ohio, and Ohio again. We have Maryland. We have Alabama. We have Maryland again. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Oklahoma. We have Iowa. We have Georgia. And we're your servants here in Pennsylvania. So God is good. Star 6, friends, we have time. We've got 12 minutes to the top of the hour. That's enough time for 12 people to say 1 minute worth of praise. Who will be first? I want to say that we need to keep praying as it relates to our dear friends who are confined. I have been in touch with the law clerk, and he was unaware of any postponement. So that made me wonder if he just hadn't gotten the information or if I received incorrect information. So I did let him know that one of our dear ones called me and told me she got that information from her attorney. So I did send him an email. I'm hoping to hear back from him. I saw his email after hours, so I responded after hours. So hopefully we'll know something about that later today. Let's keep that in prayer, brothers and sisters. Let's not relax our prayers that God would do a work. I can tell you the letter that I sent was emailed, so I can trust that the judge saw it via email, but I had mailed a personal copy that didn't, and with some other information. That never got there, so I resent that. So hopefully he'll get that today, if it's God's will. You know, sometimes God is in the working. There may be reasons why God may not want people to have hard copies of this or that. You know, God is amazing God, and he knows the end from the beginning. That's why we serve him as his subjects. Is there anyone that wants to share anything with us? We already have the prayer request for Kendall, and we will do that. And I'm going to mention something to my brother here just to give me a call or send me a text. Okay, I'll just do that real quick. And this is a Brother Patrick. I'm sending you a text, brother, so you can reach me outside of the broadcast. All right. God is good. Okay, is there anyone? We've got our dear brother, Walking John, I believe, on the call. Good morning, my brother.
Well, good morning to you and good morning to all. I just want to comment on those that's incarcerated. I just ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, have mercy on them. Touch the judge's heart, Lord. Give him another chance, Lord. I don't know the specifics, Lord, but I know being locked up is no fun at all. So I just ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, just touch the judge's heart, Lord, and just give him another chance, Lord. I always these things they ask in Jesus' name, Lord. God, a merciful God. But I know I was falsely accused of all things by a lottery official. Oh, that's some years ago. But a lie can be so damaging, you know, when it's not really corrected in the beginning. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come against a satanic power that's holding them there. In the name of Jesus, loose your whole seed. I command it in Jesus' name. And so I'm looking for a positive report coming out of from the judge, and no doubt, Shalim, you'll let us know. But in Jesus' name, Lord, it was just miserable. Miserable being locked up. Don't know what time it is. Other than the way you can judge the time is by what you eat, what's for breakfast or lunch or dinner. But in Jesus' name, Lord, have mercy on those that are incarcerated. And thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. All right. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Sister Leilani at this time. Sister Leilani, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
I would like a prayer for my daughter, Gina. She is in the U.S. Public Health Corps, and that is a military service. And she is her being called in, and she has been told that her work is not up to par. They've accused her of lying about continuing education. They've accused her of being late and of willfully disobeying orders. And she's 3 years away from her retirement, 20-year retirement. And she is just torn apart by this. She's been told that her co-workers are complaining, and you know, just all of a sudden she's been working there for 3 years now, and now all of a sudden everything she does or has been done is wrong, and she is still suffering the loss of her father. And she took some family emergency leave while he was dying, and it's just, she doesn't know how to get by. She only God can open doors and close doors that need to be opened and closed. And I'm encouraging her to bring things to God. And this sermon today was so spot on. And if you would text me the file number so I can encourage her to listen to the broadcast. And also, if you could text me the file numbers of the study of the book of Daniel. I missed some of those broadcasts, and I would like to go over it and complete the book of Daniel. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'll do what I can. And now, are you aware that there's a website where they're posted, most of them are posted at torwm.org. You don't have to listen on a telephone call. Would you, if you had a way to go to a website and listen, would that work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I know we're going to simplify that in the future, but I'll still text that website to you, and then you can even scroll up and you'll be able to see, the messages that we've had. And you should be able to pretty much figure out when we started Daniel 11. But we've been doing Daniel for some time, so it's, but you'll see the titles. Sometimes the titles are, like today's title about persecution was really Daniel 11:28. So I don't put the scripture in the title always, but, you know, each day in Daniel 11, at least, we hit 1 to 3 verses usually, and that's how we've been operating. So I'll text you that website.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless. All right, brothers and sisters, we'll go ahead and close out. I'll ask my lovely wife, Undreamed Up, to take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. For worship, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to be able to have your word to be presented before us, to have it to be one of the first things we do each morning. We thank you that you are a God who wants us to be knowledgeable in your word and in the history of this world, because history always repeats. And Father, we pray that you will allow your spirit to continue to help us to grow in grace and wisdom, as we will gain knowledge and understanding. And most importantly, we'll be able to share these things with others. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to work in favor for our friends that are in jail. We ask that the fear of the Lord would be in the face of the judge always, especially during this time, when it is so needed for them to leave, to be able to escape, be able to be free from jail. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to move in such a mysterious way in these efforts, because we know that if they could be released, that it would be just the mysterious workings of the Lord. But you are God who is able to do all that seems impossible to us. You are the God of possibilities. Father, we thank you for Brother Walker sharing once again, wanting to come on the line and to pray, as he certainly has knowledge and experience of what it's like to be incarcerated. And we thank you, Lord, for his prayer. We ask that you would bless him and his family, and continue to be with them. I believe that recently there was a death in the family, and we just want to pray that you would continue to give them encouragement and peace. We want to thank you for Sister Leilani letting us know about her daughter Gina, and we ask, Lord, that all of those that have come up against her falsely, that these statements would be erased, and that whatever it is she's needing to complete so that she can be on target for retiring, we pray that you will let all of that come into fruition for her, and for her not to be discouraged, but to know that she has the strength of the Lord that she can lean on. And by your Spirit, that you can lead, guide, instruct, and direct her in all these efforts. And we pray that you will continue to be with her grieving heart. We know that she lost her father, and that she is still having quite a time to deal with. And we just pray that you will be with her, Lord, as she calls upon you for help. And be with all the other family members as well, related to this family. And we pray for all families, Lord, because we're all in need. Everybody has different situations going on. There are different things that are happening with all family members. And I just thank you for saving my niece, her life, from the accident that happened yesterday. I'm so grateful, Lord, that her children were not in the car, because the car actually flipped upside down. I thank you that she only walked away with just bruises. I know that is nothing but the angel that you have given to protect her life, and they did just that, and I thank you for it. And I pray that those that have caused this accident would be held accountable for the wrong that had happened, because easily a life could have been taken. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless all of us and help us all to know that our God is with us and our God does hear and answer prayers. Thank you for your love and protection that you have, not just for us, but for those that we pray for. And we can see that in our family members' lives, and we can see it in the lives of our brother and in the lives of our friends. And we thank you for the protection. Lord, all these things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord.